With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app. We're on the radio from 1 until 4, then after 4 o'clock, John Cobell Show on Demand. Also on the iHeartRadio app. Deborah is here. Eric is here. We're all in place, ready to go. We got much to do. Just quickly, at 1:30, we're going to have Steve Garvey on. He had a debate last night with the three Democratic candidates, and he's going to tell us what that was like. 2 o'clock, independent journalist Daniel Gus, LA Times bloodbath day. They laid off 115 people in the newsroom, which is a very large percentage of the employees they had left as that newspaper continues to swirl the bowl. We will talk now to Michelle Franzen from ABC News. She has been covering the New Hampshire primary. Michelle, how are you?
I'm doing well. We have been on the ground today, even talking with some of the voters early on this morning who headed out to the polls on their way to work today. And it was a mixed bag of who was voting for who. So it's going to be an interesting finish when the polls close later today. Of course, Donald Trump remains the front runner with a sizable lead with Republican voters here in the Granite State. What Nikki Haley is looking for is that independent undeclared vote. They make up some 300,000 plus voters who will be going to the polls today, deciding whether they're going to vote Republican, whether they're going to vote Democrat, whether they're going to vote for Trump, Haley, Biden, someone else.
So independent voters are allowed to vote in a Republican primary, which isn't the case in a lot of other states.
Yes, that's what makes it so interesting here. Let's take Iowa, for example. It's a closed primary, so that gave Donald Trump a sizable lead, and he maintained the lead, again, with the Republicans in his party. What Haley has a chance to do here is to get that crossover vote of, yes, some moderates, but other people who no longer want to have either Joe Biden or Donald Trump, and they're looking to turn the page.
When all these polls come out, because you probably saw there were two new ones that I saw today anyway, one from the Boston Globe, both of them had Trump up by 20 points. But when they do the polling, are they polling just Republicans, or are they polling the independents who might vote in the Republican primary? And I don't even know how would you determine that other than trusting people.
Yeah, it depends on which poll, first of all, that you're looking at, and then how big that poll is of the survey. But usually they'll break down Republicans as, and compared to, you know, what they heard from the independent and the undeclared. And then, you know, then there's the whole pool of undecided who may not know until they're walking in that door who they're going to vote for.
Can you tell over the years when a campaign knows it's going to lose and is just hyping it because that's what you do on the last day? I mean, is there any sense what the Nikki Haley crowd really thinks? Are they really think they can pull off some kind of an upset here? Or are they going through the motions?
I don't know if they're going through the motions. I haven't talked with anyone from the campaign today. They're keeping a low profile except for Nikki Haley showing up and visiting a couple of poll centers. But she indicated to reporters and in her campaign memo to staffers that they're in it for the long haul, at least through Super Tuesday. So that puts us at the beginning of March. And she wants to make it to her home state next month of South Carolina. I think a lot depends on what happens tonight. A lot of people are saying, well, what's considered, you know, a win for the Haley camp? It seems like if they continue to gain momentum and they come closer and closer to Trump, that might be enough to stay in. But there's a lot of factors involved. It's not just the campaign or the candidate deciding. It has to do with donors. And so we won't know until we find out what the results are and whether or not Nikki Haley can keep going.
Yeah, because the donors gave up on DeSantis, which I'm sure had a lot to do with him getting out of the race as quickly as he did. Once they realize a candidate's a loser, they don't want to pour any good money after bad.
And Nikki Haley has had, you know, a lot of the bigger donors that Ron DeSantis once had or wanted and didn't get. And you're right. But we have to see how that plays out, too. I think it is early in the season. You know, a lot of other states would like to weigh in on this and their voters. But you've got some support from both sides of the political aisle here. You know, Joe Biden is a write-in candidate here today. You know, the Democrats really changed their primary calendar where New Hampshire is not their first primary. They changed it to South Carolina. But New Hampshire, by their state law, has to be the first primary in the nation. And so Joe Biden's surrogates have a write-in campaign here today. And theoretically, they could siphon off some of those independent voters, right? Take away from Nikki Haley, because the Biden campaign has not been shy about saying they would rather go up against Trump again than Haley.
But there's no delegates on the Democratic side for this primary.
No delegates. Those are up for sort of a battle, you know, whether or not they'll be allotted because of this rift between the DNC and the New Hampshire Secretary of State office and those delegates.
In talking to some of the voters who are leaning towards Haley, have you been able to get a sense whether they're making their one statement with Haley for the primary, but if she loses, they're happy to go to Trump? Or is this a permanent protest against Trump and there's no way they're going to ever vote for him?
Well, that also remains to be seen. I think that there are some people who are choosing to vote for Trump because they feel like Nikki Haley may not have it for the long run. And then there are others who do feel that, and they're not going to vote for Trump at any point again if they did before. So it's really still a mix. And, you know, people become more and more entrenched as this election cycle goes on. So we'll see.
What time do the polls close in New Hampshire?
It's a graduated closing. Not all polls stay open until 8, but once the 8 o'clock is the latest. As you well know, the earliest was Dixville Notch. That was right after midnight. Nikki Haley sweeping that tiny township of 6 votes.
All 6.
All 6.
Well, it's better than losing all 6.
But, you know, that is more tradition than anything else. And I do have to say, you know, history with Dixville Notch of they end up, you don't always choose the nominee, and neither does New Hampshire. So each state, you know, there's a lot of voters, I think, in South Carolina that are wishing, boy, I hope we get a choice, and maybe states beyond that.
Yeah, it may be all over by 5 o'clock our time here. All right, well, Michelle, thank you for coming on. Michelle Franzen with ABC News, covering the New Hampshire primary. All right, I mean, the polls have Trump ahead by over 20 points, and you know, I don't put a lot of faith in polls, especially if it's 5 points or less, because, you know, that's margin of error territory, and often they're wrong by 6 or 8 points. When you get into a 22-point advantage, odds are, yeah, you really are going to win if that poll was taken the week of the election. So there are degrees of disbelief that I have. Coming up, we are going to be giving away $1,000, right? Do I have that? Yes, I do have that. All right. So we're going to give away $1,000 in a matter of minutes. After 1:30, Steve Garvey on stage last night with three Democratic candidates, all three certifiably insane. We'll talk about his experience. We've got some clips to play, too. Deborah Mark live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom.
Has been hurt while putting out a fire at a homeless camp inside a pedestrian tunnel in South LA. That fire was reported around 3 this morning. Mammoth Mountain has got nearly 2 feet of...
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
So there was the debate last night, Senate debate. It was at USC. It was sponsored by Politico, and it ran on Fox 11. Alex Michelson was one of the moderators, and it also ran on KFI. And it's hard for me to come home and then immediately jump in front of a debate, right? I mean, I've been on the air for 3 hours, and I'm hungry, and I can't sit and look at Adam Schiff and Katie Porter screeching at me. So I listened to some of it on the radio. I jumped in the car I was going out to dinner, and I was driving around. I listened to the debate, which is a different experience. And I tuned in right in the middle of, well, actually early on in the dust up between all the candidates over whether Steve Garvey is going to vote for Trump or not. And which, of course, has no bearing on my day-to-day life here in California. None. He could vote for a gorilla for all I care. It doesn't matter to me who he votes for. What matters to me is how he's going to vote if he gets in the Senate, okay? However, his response was unsatisfactory. And what I didn't know, because I tuned in just a couple minutes late, is it was KFI's Mo Kelly had asked the question. He was a guest questioner last night. And the question was, it was a fill in the blank, if the American people should choose former President Trump as commander in chief, then you fill in the blank. What will happen? What does it mean? So here is Garvey answering.
Well, I think the single greatest currency we have is the right to vote. And I think we should take this personally. And I think when we vote for a president and he's duly elected, I believe we should support that president, support the office, because that's the leader of the United States, the free world.
And that set off all three Democrats. They were incensed that Garvey wouldn't tell them whether he was going to vote for Trump or not. Maybe Garvey hasn't decided yet. Apparently that's not an option in March. No, it's not March, in January. I mean, this is a March primary. And in January, do you have to make a decision on who you're going to vote for? Well, here's Adam Schiff responding to the same question.
If Donald Trump is elected president, then we are, and it rhymes with crude. He is the gravest threat to our democracy in our history. He tore down our institutions. He incited a violent attack on our Capitol. The best thing that we can do, and I've gone toe-to-toe with him, and if need be, I will go toe-to-toe with him again to defend our democracy. But his election would be the gravest threat in our country's history, certainly its modern history.
Not much hyperbole there, huh? The greatest threat in its modern history. Okay. Greater than all those Russian nuclear bombs, I guess. Then Barbara Lee. She's this Looney Tune congresswoman from Oakland. And by the way, she should take a drive around Oakland to see what's going on there. Play that same question. Play the clip.
I'm going to say first, I believe that our Republican opponent here on this stage has voted for Donald Trump twice. according to public reports, that agenda is an agenda to dismantle our democracy. And so if anyone on this stage believes that Donald Trump should be president because of his position to dismantle this democracy, then where are we here as a state and a country? So I will fight to make sure that we protect our freedoms, to protect our democracy, and to protect Donald Trump from ever again running for public office. And right now, I'm taking him to court. I'm the lead plaintiff in the NAACP lawsuit to hold him, the Proud Boys, and the Oath Keepers accountable. He is not above the law.
Thank you, Congressman.
Okay. All right. Okay. Again, go drive around Oakland. You'll see not democracy dismantled. You'll see all of civilization dismantled. Now, Katie Porter, and she's a pleasant listen. She answers the question.
We will lose credibility on the world stage. It will set us back decades in terms of diplomacy and being able to build democracies around the world. It will cause us to lose senior military leaders who refuse to serve under somebody who was engaged in inciting an insurrection. And it will weaken the diverse recruitment of the military that we need to keep our country safe.
Well, I'm glad diverse got in there, huh? You know, I was around 2017, 2018, 2019. I don't remember any of this happening. 2020 was COVID, and that derailed things. But he didn't spread the COVID. I just don't remember the civilization being destroyed, democracy being destroyed, the people quitting the military. I don't recall that. Maybe I fell on my head. Now, here's where Schiff goes after Steve Garvey, trying to get Garvey to admit that Trump is a threat. Cut five.
And I just want to underscore what Barbara Lee said. Mr. Garvey, you won't tell the public whether you're going to support this man again. You voted for him twice. You saw what he did on January 6th. You have to see what a threat he is to the country. I can understand you don't want to alienate MAGA world by saying you're against him, but you also won't stand up to him. What more do you need to see of what he's done to be able to say that you will not support him, that you will not vote to put him back in office? What more do any of us need to see?
Actually, that was going to be my question. So
I was channeling you, Alex.
Mr. Garvey, we'll give you a minute because that's going to be your topic. Yeah.
I mean, there's identity politics at its finest right there. Trying to paint me into the corner. Trying to call me MAGA.
Yeah.
Miss Lee tried to paint me in the same corner also. I'm my own man. I make my own decisions. I voted
Mr.
for
Garvey,
him twice.
Mr. Garvey, we'd like to
I
know.
I thought that he was the best person.
As your own man, what is your decision?
Let him answer. It's his turn.
You're banging on that trash can just like the Astros did a few years ago. And as I will continue, that I think that it's important to, when two people are the final two people, that you choose the person that you felt was the best person for the job.
But
if his first opponent talked down to the people of this country, his first opponent thought she was entitled.
You're talking about Hillary
Clinton.
His
second opponent stayed in a basement and only came out in controlled environment.
By the way,
I wouldn't have voted for President Reagan if he stayed in the basement.
Okay, but
so both times he was the best person for the job. How you feel about him personally is totally different. Economists say that he did an exceptional job for our economy. People will say he created jobs for minorities more than any in this history. So you can take things personally,
Let's keep it together. Here's the question.
There's 4.5 more minutes of that if you want to get to cut six.
There's 4.5 more minutes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Is it good? It's good stuff?
I mean.
All right. Well, you know what? Steve's coming on. We got to do the news. Steve's coming on. Maybe after Steve leaves, then we'll play more of it. It's just like nobody wanted Eve up here. It's like he's not telling you now. So you're just going to have to live with that. And again, who Steve Garvey votes for does not affect your life or my life here in California at all. I can think of a lot of other things that should be discussed and debated that grossly, gravely affects our life, but that's not one of them. We will get Steve Garvey on in minutes. John Cobalt Show.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
There's an old saying, get woke, go broke. Yes, get woke, go broke. You see it happen to Bud Light. You see it happen to Disney. You see it happen to CNN, to Target. You'll lose a lot of money, customers, viewers, followers, because you get too woke. And it happened to the Los Angeles Times, too. And even $1 billion from Patrick Soon-Shiong can't save that sinking ship, as we've talked about. Well, two more editors in the last week have resigned. And today, they announced 115 layoffs, which they only have 500 journalists left in the newsroom, which is way down from what it used to be. I'll tell you all about that coming up with Daniel Gus joining us. He's an independent journalist, the Gus Report. He's going to be with us at 2 o'clock on the massive layoffs as times continues to swirl. Steve Garvey's coming on now. Steve, ready? He's the Republican Senate candidate. The primary is coming up on March the 5th. He's up against three Democrats, Adam Schiff, Barbara Lee, Katie Porter. Top two go on to November. So if he can gather together all the non-Democratic voters... And that is more than half of the state. He could make the top two and go on to November. And so they had a big debate last night, ran on KFI. Steve, how are you again?
Good. Good. I just took off my Kevlar vest and it had some dents in it, but I think I withstood the storm. It was a positive evening for Team Garvey, and thanks again for carrying the debate. And it was quite enlightening. You know, last time I debated was 60 years ago. I think I was a junior in high school. And to have been on the stage last night, which was an honor for me to be the only conservative, and I think great for my messaging, reaching the people, you know, as one voice. And going up against my opponents, and the moderators were good, but still, you know, it was 5-1. And a very respected voice in Washington called me, and he said, you know what? He said, you did a better job in the first game of the Senate playoffs than they would have done in the first game of the National League playoffs there. So I think that was a pretty good compliment.
Yeah, well,
very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, we have 8 minutes of the back and forth. We played some of it already. And I understand what their shtick is to turn Trump into some kind of evil monster that's going to destroy the country. But he has been president for 4 years, and that didn't happen. You voted for him twice. You're not making a decision yet, or at least you're not announcing it yet. So what? Yeah. I mean, that's really not their business who you're going to vote for to begin with. It's your choice whether you want to announce it or not, because none of it has anything to do with the day-to-day life of Californians.
Yeah. And you could see that last night. I think it was glaring. People said the difference between you and the three progressives was, first of all, demeanor. Second of all, you were speaking to the people of California. They were speaking ideology. I think last night spoke volumes for how threatened they feel of me. You know, this was this cabal that was going into this Senate election, the three of them, and one of the two women was going to go against Schiff. And all of a sudden, this guy Garvey comes out of nowhere and shakes things up. And now they got to think of strategy. And I think last night it was interesting, you know, in doing pre-debate with some very good people and strategists for me. We thought that Katie Porter was going to come after me right off the bat, because I don't think she ever thought she'd be in third position at this point with a stretch run of 6 weeks. And we thought that probably Congressman Schiff would be a little more detached. And of course, Barbara Lee, you know, and her tenure, we weren't sure there. But it was interesting. Not too much attack in the beginning, because I think the moderators were trying to get a feel for us also. But as we started to get into policy, And the question was, Steve, you've been vague on policy. You know, where are you? And I said, you know, I'm not a career politician. I'm your neighbor. I love California. I'm a Californian. I've taken 4 months now to travel around California and listen to the people. The people have told me what they want and what they need. And irrevocably, they said policy has been quicksand for them. They can't seem to get up to breaking even every day. I think the last poll, it was 88% of Californians believe that they have lost money or barely broken even. And that's a crime. It's a crime against California, but it's happening throughout the country. So what I've been doing is listening, not forming policy, but positions on these things. And I think if you think in terms of position, you think in terms of collaboration and building consensus. If you talk about policy, you talk about ideology. And my three opponents, it's an ideology. They're going back to Washington today or whenever it is, and they're going to go back and they're going to get more quotes for the from the party line. What I'm doing is I'm going back into California in the next 10 days and listen to the people again, listen to the farmers and ranchers. Let's talk about their needs and water. Let's go back to the homeless. I've been to San Diego, Los Angeles, Sacramento. And I got laughed at last night because I said, I want to go and listen and to look people in the eye and to touch these people so that I really know the soul of California. I don't know if we got through last night, but I'm running for the soul of California.
You know what? It was important for them,
I don't care. Anybody in the audience last night, it was USC, it was going to be far left from my opponents. But what was important last night with the people watching and listening.
No, I listened to a lot of it, and maybe it's because it was on the radio. You actually came across, it was a novel approach and a refreshing approach, because the way it's supposed to work is we send people to Washington as our representatives, and they're supposed to take with them what our problems are, what we need to make life better. And so you say, look, I'm talking to people, I'm determining, you know, what's needed for a particular issue. And the others were just preaching the ideology from the old handbook. As a listener, as a regular person, I'm thinking, you know what? You're screaming about issues that either I don't care about, or you clearly have like a radical idea about it, and nothing is working. None of your policies are working here in California. You know, so something's wrong here, and you're not listening to people. And just you saying, I'm listening to people, I'm seeing what it is that they need fixed. And that the other three aren't doing that, because no matter what people tell them, they would preach exactly the same way. I mean, you could have 100 people tell those three what their problems are, and it wouldn't change their speech in the slightest, not one word.
Yeah. You know, and stance on immigration. You know, I've been to the border. They may have been there years ago. They haven't been to the border because they don't want to see it. They don't want to see the honest truth. I've been with the homeless. They're not going to go and visit the homeless. Yeah, it's not a nice place to be. And God bless them, and my compassion for them, and I know yours and Californians, is we've got to get them off the street. We've got to get them into a program that addresses the mental illness, which is caused by drugs. And yes, we'll provide shelter for them. But if you don't have this process that makes them whole again, that affects their body and their mind and their soul, and gets them back into society, then you're not solving the problem. And career politicians are throwing money at it. They'll sign off on a bill and they'll throw money at it, and they say, "Well, I've done my part." We haven't. You can't touch people.
Keeping the border open so billions of dollars of fentanyl can come over the border and then kill thousands of people in the streets. I don't know how they live with themselves. They clearly have to seal off the border and stop the fentanyl and stop, you know, the supply line that feeds all the people that are dropping dead from it.
Yeah. First of all, when you see the people coming across the border, first thing you see the people that have taken weeks to come there and been told, oh, come across. Yes, the border's open. Come across. Come to America, you know, land of milk and honey and so forth. But what about the humanity of Californians, of Arizonans, of people in Texas at the border? I mean, these people are filtering through. I just did an interview in Kern County, the DA there, and it's filtering through Kern County, and it's filtering through San Diego County and out where we are in Coachella, you know, and some are staying, some are moving on, but it's infiltrating this country, and it's putting a stress on life as we know it, putting a stress on our pocketbooks, because we're going to pay for a lot of this welfare. So it's got to stop. We've got to close the border. We've got to take a deep breath. There is a process, legal process, that's been around for generations, to come to America and become a legal citizen. And tens of thousands of people are in their country of origin, have gone to the embassy, are now sitting there and saying, wait a minute, there's 8 million illegal aliens who jumped ahead of us. I mean, that's not fair.
Can you hang on for another segment?
Absolutely.
You got time? Okay. Steve Garvey, Republican Senate candidate.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We continue with Steve Garvey. And he had a debate last night, if called that. Adam Schiff, Barbara Lee, Katie Porter, the Democrats shouting, and Steve Garvey, to my ears, trying to be reasonable. Steve, well, just to continue on the path that we were going, they've had their running things the last few years. The border is a complete disaster. Inflation has really screwed with people. Especially, you know, you look at $5 gas that we've had in California, and the food prices are up, you know, 20, 25, 30%. They're not up 3%. Food's up 30% in a lot of cases. And so it's not working. Whatever their ideas are, it's not working. Then you add all the homelessness, the drug addiction, and the crime in California. Their way has been a big failure. And I think people might be open to your way of saying, whoa, let's calm down, listen to each other, work together, because this is a failure right now.
John, perfect. And the world's watching. I mean, we're the leader of the free world. We carry the torch for democracy. And with the beginning of this administration, Afghanistan and all the decisions made, not only the ones you were talking about, which are decimating this country. I mean, we're imploding from within if we don't get good, common sense representatives in place soon, especially with this race. So what we have to do is look where the failure has been. It's Washington, it's the administration. Look at our career politicians. They've been given time. Katie Porter last night was trying to say she wasn't a career politician, which I thought was very interesting. And now let's get common sense voices like mine. A lot of good men and women who are out there have been told, you can't win. You know, don't even run. Well, I think when people are coming up to me and saying, Steve, thank you for running. We're proud of you. What can we do? Stand with me. Share my voice. Share it with people that you think could carry this voice, not only, especially in the state of California to begin with, and then back to Washington. So, like you said, this has all happened on their watch. And a very good CEO friend of mine from a big company said if it was up to me, and I'd do a job review of each of them and fire them. They haven't done the job. They haven't represented the people. And they talk Washington, but really, most of the time, they're running for a job. I mean, for them, it's a job. For me, this is personal to represent the people of California, my neighbors.
Well, they don't seem to want to admit about all their policies that have failed. That's what's excruciating about listening to it. They don't really want to touch the border or touch homelessness or talk about the very high cost of living. They just repeat their same worn-out slogans. They shout all their slogans. I mean, maybe it was the radio, but you came across as a normal person, and they came across as crazy people. That's what I thought. It's like I'm listening to crazy people here.
When people are on the defense, if they know they're wrong, what do? They shout. They try to shout over you. They interrupt you. So I was ready for that last night. And there were times where they tried to interrupt and shout over me. And there were times where I would look at as the people watching last night and think, this is crazy. These people are representing us. And there were times that I had to keep messaging, so I talked over them, and I looked at the moderators, and they gave me extra time because they thought he's saying something that's important for the people they're responsible to, and that's the audience. So that's what we're doing with my journey is this next 6 weeks running towards the primary and being in the top two. And by the way, I want to win it.
Yeah.
I'm not running second place. I'm running to win the primary, and then all bets are off. And then Californians are going to look at the two of us, and they're going to have to make a choice. Are they going to make a choice for their future and their children's future and their grandchildren's future with somebody that can lead responsibly? Or are we going to – and we're not going to stay status quo with what's happening to us now. We're going to continue to go farther and farther downhill. We're going to have our rights taken away, like Congressman Schiff said last night. Deconstruct the courts. The Supreme Court. He wants to deconstruct it. He wants to flood it so they can control it. So, now's the time to stand up. At any time in the last couple of generations, now's the time because it's a one-party state. And by the way, Wall Street and Main Street are completely divided. The hardworking middle class that's left this state, 800,000 to 1 million people, were good tax-paying people, and they left because they couldn't get ahead. Let's do something and I think you may have gotten my message. I'm a free market capitalist. Let people compete. Let's give them a chance. Let's cut those taxes down. Let's open up the pipes and get oil and gas running again. Let's put some money in the pockets of hardworking Californians. Let them spend it as to how they would like to, for their children and families. And that's when we're going to get back the Californian That's the heartbeat of America. Like I said, when I first started running, I remember it was the heartbeat of America. Now it's just a murmur. We can turn it around because the vibrancy of California, even though it's been dulled, has always been the people. And if the people speak, we'll get back to where we should be in this country and world.
Steve, it was good having you on, and we'll talk again real soon, okay?
Thanks for being on the journey with me, John. Right. Thank you, and to everybody listening.
All right, Steve Garvey there, running for Senate as a Republican against the other three. When we come back, I know we got, yes, this is. So in the last week, two more major editors of the LA Times resigned, and they laid off 115 people in the newsroom. And they only had 500 left. They used to have, 25 years ago, they had 1,200 writers and editors. They're down to 500. Now they're down to about 385. So it's shriveling. It's shrinking. And Sun Chiang issued a statement that he's blown $1 billion on this just in the last few years. $1 billion. And he is not Jeff Bezos. He only has $8 billion. Now he's got seven. Deborah Mark live. Anyway, we're going to talk with Daniel Guss and the journalist, and he's got his finger on the pulse of what's going on at the Times. He's an independent journalist. Deborah Mark live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom. Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.